Hail the power of Jesus, and let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race of remnant, weak and small, hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Ye Gentile sinners, never forget the wormwood and the gall. Go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this celestial hall to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Number eight.
Worship the King, the glorious above, for gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, a brilliant in splendor, and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is alive, whose cannot be spaced. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plains, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Well, children of dust and feeble as frail, Jesus bent the cross alone, and all the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me.
Church in Greenville this morning, but We go over that annually because we have to go over to Carol's family for a Christmas celebration, which was yesterday afternoon, and we went over, and they were predicting 3 to 4 inches of snow and sleet about 2 o'clock this morning, which they got earlier because when we got home at 11:30 and Carol talked to her sister, they said it was already white over there where we left, so with the ground covered with snow. So we wanted to get out of there, but we didn't want to get frozen in over there for most of next week and not able to get out. So we went ahead and left. It was kind of difficult for us old people, for 4-hour drive over there in the driving rain and 4.5-hour drive coming back, because coming back we went down the interstate to Atlanta and up that way. We didn't want to come across the mountains and run across no ice roads. So, but we're glad to be here and certainly glad to have this opportunity. I turn to a portion of scripture. It's found in the book of Psalms. And there's one particular thought in these scriptures that I'll read that I'll want to speak to you about, and I'll go to several different occasions concerning that one scripture. I don't know whether you ever have been in an occasion or where you said one thing for sure or one thing I know. So the scripture talks about there's one thing. So we want to deal with that this morning. And we'll read about that a little bit here in Psalms 27. Starts out with the first verse of Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And here it is in verse 4. One thing have I desired. And I trust that is the desire of each and every one of us that are here this morning. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I trust that is the one desire of our hearts this morning, to be in the house of the Lord, to come to church, to be here to worship the Lord all the days of our life. I trust that is your desire, because it is very important to every born-again child of God to spend time in worship of the Lord and to meet together and in the house of the Lord and to worship him. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart shall say unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I trust we've come here this morning seeking the face of the Lord. I trust we've come here this morning with that one desire to meet together in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. Now we want to look at some other scriptures that mention that one thing. Now we want to turn over to the book of Mark, and we'll see a character that the scripture gives us here in Mark chapter 10 the scripture says about him, or this is actually what Jesus said about him, is he lacked one thing. He had a conversation with Jesus, and he asked Jesus a question. But the question he asked Jesus was not a proper question, because there is, of course, nothing that can be done for what he asked for. This man is called the rich young ruler. He is referred to by many. And he was a man that was rich because he had lots of goods. And he came running up to Jesus. He was a child of God, I believe. Some people will take the position that because of his decision that he made when Jesus asked him a specific question and his refusal to do what Jesus said, that he was not a child of God, that he's in hell. I don't believe that, because first of all, I'll read to you here in a minute, it says that Jesus loved him. And I can assure you, if Jesus loves an individual, he is one of his. He loves them because God the Father gave them to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. And Jesus loves every single one of his elect children. And I believe this man was indeed one of them. But he lacked one thing. And we want to examine that one thing that this man lacked, found in the book of Mark, chapter 10. We'll begin there at verse 17 of chapter 10 of the book of Mark. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him. Now this man was excited about meeting Jesus. He came running. He wanted to get there and he wanted to see Jesus, and he didn't want to waste any time. He wanted to get there very quickly. It says here, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, and this is the question he asked him. He said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Well, you see, that question in itself, there's a problem with that question. Because first, there is nothing that you do to inherit eternal life. Eternal life is a gift to you from God. You didn't do anything to receive it. You didn't do anything to get it. It was no requirement for you to get it. It came by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. So this man asked the question, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now, what was Jesus' answer to this man whenever he asked him that question? Jesus answered him. It says, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. So Jesus asked him, "Why are you calling me good?" Well, Jesus, you see, knows our very thoughts. Jesus knew the very thoughts of this man, and Jesus knew that this man thought that this Jesus that he was talking to was nothing other than a man like himself. So he thought, "Why are you calling me good?" Jesus wanted to tell him, "There's none good, no, not one. They're all fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none good." But this man lacked the knowledge that there's none good. And he didn't recognize that this man that he was speaking to was indeed God himself. He didn't recognize that. So Jesus asked him back when he said, "What must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And then he asked him, "Why callest thou me good?" He said, and he also called him good master. "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." That's true. There's none good but one. That's God himself. But Jesus is God. What was wrong with this man calling Jesus the good master? Because he was indeed God. But Jesus here wanted this man to see, because Jesus knew his thoughts. He thought Jesus was nothing other than a man like himself. He thought that because a man is good, he presents himself to God and can inherit eternal life. Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. That's true. And Jesus was indeed God. And it was proper for this man to call Jesus the good master, because he was God in the flesh. "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments." And here Jesus said, you know the commandments. You've read them. Let me remind you of some of them here. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. You see, now when Jesus told him that, this man had pretty good thoughts about himself. He thought he was a pretty good guy. He thought he was a pretty good fella. And so when Jesus quoted all of those commandments to him, he said, "You know these commandments." And he stated these commandments, and he answered and he said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." You see, well, this man thought, "Well, I'm going to inherit eternal life because I've been good. I'm going to inherit eternal life because I've kept all these commandments." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Now I'm telling you, he's a child of God. That scripture right there tells me this man is a child of God. We won't find this man in hell when time is no more. We'll find him in heaven. When we get there, he said, and Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing." Now that's that one thing. "One thing thou lackest." So now Jesus has quoted all these commandments to him, and he said, "I've done all these from my youth up." And now Jesus is going to give him a commandment he's not going to want to keep. Why? Because his trust is in his earthly possessions and his earthly treasures, and not in his heavenly treasures. And so Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, Sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, and follow me. Now when Jesus told him that, he said, take all you've got, all your possessions, sell it, convert it to cash, and distribute it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Now here is a man that had great possessions, and his treasure was in his earthly possessions, not in his heavenly possessions. If his treasure had been in his heavenly possessions instead of his earthly possessions, he would have gladly sold all he had, distributed it to the poor, and followed Jesus. He would have gladly done it. But what actually happened here when Jesus gave him this thing to do, and it was, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. What was it that this man lacked when Jesus told him, one thing thou lackest? What he lacked was where his treasure was, where his thoughts, the things that God had done for him was not as important to him as his earthly possessions that he depended upon and relied upon in order to take care of him. And so his possessions was in his earthly, his treasure was in his earthly possessions and not in his heavenly possessions. That's the one thing that this man lacked, is where his confidence and his trust was. His trust was not in God. His trust was in himself. And that's the one thing that he lacked, was his trust needed to be in God and in Jesus, the man that he had ran up and kneeled down and asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You don't do anything to get eternal life. It's a gift to you from God, and it came to you by God's grace, and God's grace alone. That is one thing that this man lacked. Now we want to turn over here and take a look at another thing, another instance where Jesus went into the home of a lady, and her name was Martha, and she had a sister named Mary, and Jesus said this about Mary. One thing is needful. Now we want to take a look at that one thing that was needful here for Mary. And he said about Mary that Mary had chosen that one needful thing. But Martha, she was coming about with the earthly things. So let's take a look at that. That's found here in the book of Luke, chapter 10, and it says here, beginning there at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now here was Jesus. He went into the house of these sisters. There was Martha and there was Mary. Now when Jesus went into the home of Martha and Mary, what did Mary do? She bowed down at the feet of Jesus. That was what she did. She bowed down there, and she went there and bowed there to hear His Word, to hear the words that flowed from His mouth, to worship and adore her Lord and her Savior. That was what was important to Mary. And Mary, she bowed down at the feet of Jesus. And had a sister named Mary, and she sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to Him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Now here was Martha. The Lord had come to the house. She was busy, probably about fixing something for lunch. She was busy about tidying up the house, getting a place for Jesus to sleep for the night. She was busy about preparing the house for her guest Jesus. Those are earthly things. Those are things of this earth. And Martha, she was busy about doing those things, and she wanted Jesus to condemn Mary for not helping her in her duties around the house. And so she said, Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to Him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And then Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, why thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." There it is. One thing is needful. We need to take a look at this ourselves in our own lives. One thing is needful. And Martha had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What did Martha, what Mary had taken that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What did Mary do that Martha did? Martha was busy about the work of the house, but Mary, Jesus was there. Jesus wasn't there every day. Mary took the opportunity to bow down at the feet of her Savior, to bow down and to hear His word, to take time away from the things of the earth and the things of the house and the things that need to be done. This is more important, to bow down at my Savior's feet and hear His word as He speaks to us. And that can be about us. Don't get so busy in your life. Don't get so busy in your job that you don't have time to take a moment and read God's word and spend some time in communion with God, reading and studying and knowing the words of God that are important to your life. That's needful for each and every one of us, as it was here for Mary. There's one needful thing, and Mary had chosen that one needful thing. Yes, indeed, that was the needful there for Mary. Now we want to take a look at one other scripture this morning, and it's found in the book of John, and this was a man that was born blind. A man was born blind, and Jesus healed him. But Jesus did this thing on the Sabbath day. And there was Jews there, boy, they ready to condemn this man as a sinner. Why? Because he works on the Sabbath day. So let's read about it. What this is going to be, this man is going to say, One thing I know. One thing I know. Let's see what it is. Found in the Gospel of John chapter 10. We'll begin there at verse 13. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. They brought a blind man. They brought him to the Pharisees. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they said unto the blind man, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? In other words, they wanted this man to say, Jesus is a sinner. He did this thing on the Sabbath day. But this man wasn't about to say Jesus was a sinner. One thing he knew, he was blind, but now I see. Can you relate that to your own life? I can relate that to mine. I can remember a time when I was like that rich young ruler. I thought because of all I was doing and all I did, I was going to heaven as a result of what I did. I was blind. But the Lord opened my eyes. And now I see. It's wonderful to be able to see the salvation that's of the Lord. It's wonderful to see. It had nothing to do with me or anything I did, but it was God's great gift to me of eternal life. Whereas I was blind, now I see. So they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So then when this man wouldn't say that Jesus was a sinner because he did this on the Sabbath day, some of them said, well, I don't even know that he was born blind. Let's call in his parents and find out if this is really their son that was born blind. And so that's what they did. They called in the parents. The Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not, nor who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. So they didn't want to get into saying that Jesus was a sinner because he did this on the Sabbath day. They said, well, go to him, ask him. Well, they'd already been to him and asked him. So when they said that, they went to him again. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. In other words, if you've received your sight, go ahead, give God the praise. Don't give it to this man. This man was God. That's what they were missing. This was Jesus, the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he had the power to heal this man of his blindness that he had from his birth. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know. Now I'm going to tell you, this man knew this, and he's the only man knew this. He was blind, but now I see. He knew that, and he expressed it. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And I can say that same thing about me, and I trust you all can say the same thing about yourself. You were blind, but God has opened your heart and your mind to his written word, and now you see. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. I'm going to tell you who he is. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. Yes, one thing this man knew, whereas he was blind, now he sees. And I trust you can say, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. One thing, we saw the one thing that we desire. I trust it's the one desire that we have, to worship the Lord, to be in his house all the days of our life, for the rest of our lives that we have remaining, to meet at the house of the Lord and to worship him and to meet together to praise his name. We saw the rich young ruler. He said, one thing thou lackest, and that was to have his treasure in heavenly things rather than in earthly things. And then we saw Mary, the sister of Martha, who met that one thing that was needful, that was to bow down at the feet of Jesus and to worship him while she had opportunity, and to hear his words as he spoke to her. And this blind man said, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer. Pray for Elder Martin now as he comes to preach to you.
Deliver my God to thee.
Come back. Thank you. It is well. It is well.
Yeah.